Blog Talk Radio.
Expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, this covenant's not in vain. Once the promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praise him before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. This covenant cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians. Listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, covenant cafe.
Hello and welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson.
And
Poetic Lace.
And we're in the building. We got a lot of special things going to happen today.
Yo, I never said this on the air.
Uh-oh.
Have you ever listened to that intro?
Yeah.
That is a dope intro. Like, shouts out to, I wish you just would have been on the show so I can know your name, but you did your thing on the song. And if you listen to the show right now, call, because, you know, shouts out to you, bro. You did your thing. Very powerful lyric. Okay, I just had to say that.
Yes, that was necessary, definitely. Yeah, so we, once again, we're here on another Sunday. It's about 75 or 60 to 60, well, I would say about between 60 and 70 degrees here in Virginia. And what is it doing down there?
Down here in Florida, the temperature is wet. It is, like, raining all day.
Are we all
so
clipped, guys?
We don't know what the number is. We just say it's wet.
Absolutely. Now, before we get started, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we got to have our word for the day. And like I say, you know, we got our world news, our weird news, you know, the poetry spot, a little everything going down today.
So let's
get it started.
All right, I'm in a real inspirational mood. I've been touched by the inspirational spirit today. The spirit where we're going to go from, it comes from Isaiah 59:1, and it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear." So what I really want to get into is that there is no distance. There is no amount of mess between you and God that God can't reach you. You cannot go so far that you cannot be saved. Can't nothing shorten God's reach. There's nothing that is – basically, I want to inspire you people that – a lot of people say, man, when I clean myself up, man, I'll go to God because I just can't go like this. You know, it's a good excuse from what I hear. But the thing is, there's no distance. There's nothing between you. And the Bible says, come as you are. So today what I'm really encouraging is that we turn back to God. Like, we really turn back to God. But what I'm saying is the more inspirational part is that God knows you. He knows everything about you. He sees everything going on. He hears everything. He is just omnipresent. So with that being said, that you can't be so far from God that you can't come back to him. And there's nothing that God can't do for you. Like, don't ever view your situation as the worst situation. It can never be fixed. There's nothing you can do about it. That is just the worst thing that you can believe, because truth be told, that God can just do the tiniest thing and your whole world is flipped upside down. Testimonies after testimonies throughout this week. You have homeless people who won a lot of people who went homeless for the, like you were talking about the one guy who was, this one guy who was homeless on the side of the freeway, and he found a diamond ring. And he held on to the diamond ring just for that lady. Mind you, he's been homeless most of his life. Returned it to his right owner, and next, you know, they start a website, and thousands of dollars start pouring in.
Wow.
To take care of this man. And you got so many, you got people who are in the lower class, that's what they, you know, they call the lower class, the poor class, who in 1 second get a job that's six figures. Like somebody, and not just on the financial end, we could talk about on the inspiration, on the relationship end. You have women who just, who've been lonely or keep getting did by Mr. Wrong, and they, you know, they meet Mr. Right. And they are living a happy life because they're with a man of God now. And the same thing with men who just, who used to get around, and next thing you know, they finally settle down and get into God, and they get a real woman that supports them. I mean, it's so many different angles of how your life can change into when you submit totally to the Lord. Like, I was even thinking earlier how I'm like, now, every time I come on open and I'm ripping them up.
Yeah.
But let me say something that's really, really encouraging, that's truth about God, that we serve a God that, you know, he strives to make us holy. But the thing about holiness is that it is something to be happy about. You know, blessed is also defined as a blissful happiness. Prosperous, to move forward. So we can move forward. We can prosper into blessings, a blissful happiness that is a holiness from God. We just have to submit to him and really believe that there's no limits on God, and there's nothing that, besides blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and not forgiving, that, you know, not forgiving because he says if you don't forgive, he won't forgive you. But besides those things and a number of other things, you can, it's not like a little catch, right, a little loophole. But seriously, like, so I won't go into that. Let me stick on the path of encouragement. So basically what I'm saying is that there's nothing that you can do that God can't change in your life. Because you can not forgive somebody and God touch your heart and you forgive everybody in a second. There's so much you can do when you allow God to really touch your heart. So today, like I said, the scripture says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear.
Wow. That's pretty deep, son. You know what?
It's pulling me. Before you go, it's really pulling me. I'm sorry, y'all. I tried not to. Verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Listen to the scripture. I want to say the whole thing together now. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short and that it cannot save. So the Lord can do anything. He can do anything because his hand is not short.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. So there is nothing that can stop God from doing what he wants to do.
Absolutely.
But, verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from God. So what are you saying? Basically, the sin, all the wrong that you're doing, all the trifling stuff, the things that God told you not to do is keeping you from God. So it's not that God can't help your situation. It's that you voluntarily chose to keep God out of your situation. So his hand's not short. He's just respecting your wishes. How often do we choose, like in the New Testament, you see that Jesus was facing, you know, he's getting ready to go for the crucifixion, and you got the Pharisees who are like, yeah, kill him, we want him dead. And then you got, they had a choice. Do you want Barnabas the murderer or Jesus the king of the Jews? Remember, this is how it was worded. And they were like, he's not our king. Now, mind you, Barnabas' name was Jesus as well. So you got Jesus Barnabas, and you got Jesus the Christ. How often do we choose Jesus Barnabas instead of Jesus the Christ? How often do we prefer the murderer, the fornicator, the luster, the liar, the prideful, the bitterness over the Messiah, the King, the love, the salvation? How often do we choose that? So what it comes down to is, I'm sorry, I tried not to, but it was pulling me. What it comes down to is so often that we choose to keep God out of our lives. We choose to deal with our problems. We choose to stay in our problems. We choose the same old cycle of dealing with the same problem, staying in the same problem, dealing with the same problem, staying in the same cycle. It's the same clock, and it's time for that to stop. And how does it stop? What did he say? He said, but your iniquity has separated you from your God. It's time to make a change. Even deeper, just I got to throw that because I didn't finish the whole scripture because I got too excited.
It's all good.
The whole verse says, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. So the whole verse says, but your iniquity has separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from your his face from you so that he will not hear you. So that's what I was trying not to touch when I was talking about if you don't forgive, he won't forgive you, you know, being blasphemous and all that stuff. Those are the stuff that causes that border so God doesn't hear you and he won't reach you when you voluntarily choose to stick with your sin instead of the holiness of God. Okay, all right, okay. There we go, Mike. I try so hard to stay, but the Lord said finish that verse out, finish the scripture, go deeper into it, because it's one thing for people to feel that, you know, one thing to be encouraged, and that's really good, but to understand that there's a lot of discipline to be encouraged and to stay encouraged. Like, you can get encouraged. I can give you some words of encouragement. You're cool tonight. But tomorrow when you wake up in the same mess, you're wondering, why am I still here? But I was feeling encouraged yesterday. Well, this is how we get encouraged and we stay encouraged by the truth of the word and reading it in its fullness and completeness.
Yeah, hey, there it is. I mean, what else is there to say? He can touch anything and make it right. Anything, any soul. I mean, you may feel like you're at the bottom of the chain financially. And it also doesn't have to mean financially. You could be financially set, but your soul is not right.
True.
So he can make it happen. You just got to believe. You have to believe. You know, so, ladies and gentlemen, there it is. What more can you say? You know what I mean? What more can you say? Like we said earlier, you got the world news and stuff today. Of course, we got the weird news as well. But we have somebody coming in a second here. I'm just kind of waiting for him. He's supposed to be bringing in strange and useless facts. You know, Deacon Jones, he's supposed to be here. We do apologize. He is running late. Okay, so you guys just hang in there, and he shall show up. Oh, look who's here. Hello?
Yes, yes, this is Deacon Jones here, yes.
Deacon, hello, what's up?
Everything is just beautiful. Like I was just listening to what you were saying there about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is my heart and soul of everything. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we would like to just say this. Jesus is my everything. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And let me say something different here. Jesus is my everything.
Amen.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about a few things here. God is my everything. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, wait, did I say that before? Let me get into a few strange and useless facts. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go deep.
Dolphins, you guys are familiar with dolphins. Is that correct?
Yes.
Dolphins sleep with one eye open. You guys know that?
I don't know that.
Also, you can't kill yourself by holding your breath.
That makes a lot of sense, though.
Yes, amen. I don't know where that boy Lamont went to, but he should be standing and listening to this because he is the one never trying to hold his breath and say, I bet you I can't die.
I'm going to talk to him about that when he get back on the line.
Amen, amen. Polar bears are left-handed. Now, this fact right here doesn't make much sense to me because bears can't write anyway. So why would they be left-handed? Amen?
Deacon, how did they find it out? I'm curious.
I assume that there were camping, and they left their tent, and they came back. The cookies were gone, and there was a note written in bear language, left-handed. Yes. So apparently, that's how I found out.
Okay, I got you.
Another fact, typewriter is the longest word that can be made using the letters only on one row of the keyboard.
Hmm.
Yes. And one more before I go. A snail can sleep for 3 years. That's
straight?
A lot.
Like just sleeps 3 years straight.
Apparently, this fact is that they only sleep 3 years. That's what it says. Amen.
Okay. Okay.
Amen. And before I go, I would like to say, God is my everything. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you got that boy Ray Lason now. Everything is over. I'm gonna get the door for it.
Thanks.
See you guys later.
Bye, Deacon. See you later.
Amen. Amen. God is my everything. So he's going to take me to Golden Corral. So he's going to pay for the bill. That boy going to wait because I got to stay my peace. Now, this is what I want people to understand. God is my everything, and he is Jesus the Christ. Now, don't think that God is going to provide everything for you. And what I mean by that is, don't think you're going to go and, boy, if you don't, but hold on. Don't think you're going to go and go to Corral without any money and thinking you're going to get a free meal, because God is not that kind of person. Okay?
Okay.
Don't try to use an abuse. Boy, if you don't stop ringing that doorbell, I'm going to either watch myself. But anyway, so don't think you're going to go to Golden Corral without any money, knowingly you got money at home, okay? Those occasions are for those truly are in need of help. You feel
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you. I definitely do.
There are people out there hungry that don't have any money, but there are people out there that have money that act like they don't have any money and try to steal from Golden Corral.
Mm.
But I'm going to go because if that boy pushed that. Nope. Okay. I've got to go. See you guys later. I will be back next week with more strange and useless facts.
All right, D. Appreciate it. Seriously.
Yeah. All right, D. See you later.
Boy, don't you be saying that. See you later. You're late.
Oh, jeez. Okay. All right.
All right.
Yeah.
Deke gone? Is Deke gone?
Yeah, Deke left.
Well, so why did you leave me alone with him?
What was that?
Why did you leave me alone with him?
Man,
I mean, he cool, but last time, before the show, we was in a car, right? We talking and stuff, and
mm-hmm.
he never lets me talk. He just talk. He never lets me talk, and I'm not really comfortable with somebody who don't listen.
Yeah, I don't.
He cool. I mean, he has the good useless fast stuff, so I'm not tripping, but I'm just...
Yeah, I heard, I was listening outside the door because he wouldn't let me in. He was saying something about dolphins or something.
He said that bears are left-handed. And I asked, you know, like, well, how are they left-handed?
Yeah.
And he said... You know, apparently the bear stole cookies, and he wrote a letter in bear language with his left hand.
Wow, bear language, that's really off the chain.
Deacon cool though, man. He's cool people though.
Okay, well, okay. So now Deke's gone. He should have stayed here so you can listen to the world news, but that's a different story. But ladies and gentlemen, we have our world news. What is going on in the news?
Man, so I definitely got some stuff I really wanted to discuss. We're going to debate about this one. So we're going to start off. Of course, This is not the core of the debate. It should get juicy. All right. So overcrowding aided prison escape. So the brazen escape of a notorious gangster in France may be due partly to a problem plaguing the prison that couldn't hold him. Overcrowding. There's a clear overpopulation problem in the prison and hinders the job of guarding prisoners. So, of course, it reads on talking about the problem of overcrowding prisons and this and that. Now, this is my thing. Let's bring it to America just for a bit.
Okay.
Now, as we know about whether it's a targeted ethnic background for just getting arrested or to fill up our jail cells, and be honest with you, prison is like the mafia because it's a lot of money into that.
Mm.
My whole thing is I really feel that now, if you've done a crime, you deserve to do the time. I backed it up, like, because God is just and righteous. So I'm behind that 100%. But I also, here in America, not just America, just period, as far as the ruling system, the judging system goes, that there are some crimes that should not be so harsh as far as the punishment goes. Example, you had a 13-year-old boy who was, he was 12, 11, 10 years old, little child. And he was wrestling with his younger brother, and he was doing wrestling moves, and he slammed him on his head, broke his neck, and killed him. And it gave the little boy life.
I remember that.
What the heck? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the reason why our jails are so overcrowded. Cause are you serious? You charging a little 10-year-old, 11, 12-year-old boy with a man time? What is he going to do with all that time? And then you got young men, also 15, 16, 17, like, I don't support their acts, but also they're, because of their, like, this is why, okay, before I even get to that part, statutory rape as an example. The reason why statutory rape is so serious because a kid that is a person under 16, they don't have the mind to give consensual sex. They don't have the mind to consent to sex. They don't know anything that's going on as far as the power of sex and the maturity and what may come with it. They're kind of just, you know, one-tracked with it. So somebody that's 4 years older than them will get, you know, rape, statutory rape, because their mind hasn't got there. So totally understand that. Now what I'm saying, I put it out there to talk about these 15, 14, 13, even 16, 17-year-old young men, little boys, they're still boys, teenagers, who are getting grown man time, but they don't have the mind to really consent to what they're doing. Now, mind you, they know about right from wrong, but how can you give a 15-year-old who got caught selling weed 20 years in prison on his first offense?
Well, okay, we have to let's go through this with a fine-tooth comb.
Okay.
And this is actually going to go back to a story where the elementary kid was interrogated. Well, they were going through an investigation with this child.
Right, right.
You know, and 3 hours worth of questioning over her saying that I'm going to shoot you with my water gun.
Right.
Now, what is happening here in America? I don't mean to sound like a politician. Is we have so many incidents that there are people that use common sense, and there are people who do not. Okay. In this case, that child should not have been interrogated, if I said that right, for 3 hours because that was a child.
Mm-hmm.
His parents, I think it was a female, right? Her parents should have been contacted first.
Mm-hmm.
If you really felt that, you know, that serious about the situation, you really, really was like, okay, this kid's going to, you know, shoot somebody with a water gun. Okay. Even if that kid brought a water gun to school, who was going to get hurt? No one. Okay. But however, some people kind of go over the top. Now, number two, with the airlines,
mm-hmm.
another situation where we're going over the top is they're allowing the Swiss Army knives on the plane.
Right.
Now, I'm comparing these two incidents because
everything that we do is over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And some things make sense, some things does not.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why this situation is over the top, because they feel that they have too much to look for with all these bombs trying to get on the plane, you know, bombs in shoes, bombs in pants, you know, drugs, all that stuff. They looking for all this things, all these things, so they're going to let the Swiss Army knives pass. That's one last thing they have to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are we being lazy? Yes, because security is security. You cannot let a sharp object get on that plane.
Mm-hmm.
If box cutters were used to hold up a plane, what do you think these are going to do? Because they have so many Swiss Army knives. I mean, you have all kinds of utensils on there, screwdrivers. That, I mean, just anything to dismantle stuff, hurt people, injure people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really believe people should really use common sense, and especially in these trials,
mm-hmm.
full circle here, especially in these mm-hmm. trials, because everyone has their situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I really need, you got people need to look at it case by case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if a 15-year-old boy kills someone, okay, let's go with, we're going with the rape.
Okay.
15, remember the football team, the football players?
Yeah.
Okay. They were of age.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because they were 16 and 17. So they knew what they were doing. They deserve the time. Some people don't believe that.
Yeah.
They believe
mm-hmm.
that because the girl was out, you know, she was blacked out for a while. She didn't say yes and she didn't say no. Okay,
mm-hmm.
these guys know that she was blacked out.
Correct.
So they knew she couldn't answer.
Mm-hmm.
They took advantage of her.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to serve their time.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line. People was on and people was trying to defend them because they're football players.
Mm-hmm.
That don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we have to use our common sense, and for especially getting behind issues that really should be dealt with through the justice system, meaning
mm-hmm.
like that, those are football players.
Mm-hmm.
They're behind them. Oh, they're football players. They're young. Their life is being messed up. Okay, they weren't thinking about that when they took that girl's innocence.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I can probably say they did not come there to do that
mm-hmm.
initially, but because of all the alcohol that was involved, they end up doing that.
Right.
Okay. Now,
mm-hmm.
another argument saying that they weren't coherent. They were because they were intoxicated, they made poor choices. They made the poor choice of drinking.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. You know what I mean? So, every situation, I really think, is different, especially the kid in Florida that was wrestling with his brother and ended up killing him. They were wrestling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's nothing here to say I'm justifying him killing him, but he didn't do it on purpose. It was an accident, a freak
right.
accident. You know,
mm-hmm.
those things happen, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I can go on for days, you know.
See, my thing is, it's not, I mean, I'm saying, okay, at a certain age, once you become of age to learn right and wrong and you choose wrong and you do the crime, of course you do the time. I'm like a firm believer in that because there is a certain age of maturity where in your teens where you know better and you shouldn't do. You have a choice, and I understand that. My thing is the judgment of these of the cases, like, I feel that there has to be a better method in selecting how much time. And as well, like, some things,
uh-huh.
I mean, they do choose from, but it's not, you don't hear too much about it, like, if someone should go to a mental asylum instead, or somebody should be going to a psychiatric ward, or somebody should be going to maybe juvenile instead of instead of the actual prison, and or maybe probation would be better for this. Like, it's like how it's just so interesting that it's a problem now that of the overcrowding of jails. And I mean, as times get, as the days go on, of course, people are getting more wicked, so there are going to be more evil crimes going on. There's going to be a lot more going on as far as, you know, putting people behind bars and wanting that because of evil. But my thing is that, because you have some people who, you know, we deal with that every day about the innocent going to jail for a crime they didn't do, stuff like that. My issue is their method, because far more times than none, especially in our community, you see young men, especially young men, black men, who are doing severe jail time.
Yeah.
Severe jail time for a crime that if another skin tone or ethnic background did, the time would not have been as harsh. And I'm not, and if we just steered off of just the black thing, but I'm saying this is a leading reason for overcrowding of jails. Because why is he in there so long? It's supposed to be a correctional facility.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not being, correction is not being taught. You're getting trained to be an animal and be institutionalized. Man, I've really visited these places. I've talked to people and I've wrote letters. And their mind frame, to though, like this one guy, I've heard so many stories, and I even met a guy. He's been in there. He went for 60 years. And when he got out, he didn't know what to do in civilization. So he committed a crime just to go back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that happens in Detroit a lot, especially during the winters.
When
it's a real cold winter, the homeless or the criminals who that don't really have a place to live, they go commit a crime, and then they end up, you know, in jail with three pots in a cot, you know what I mean? Three meals a day, somewhere to sleep, you know, until it gets warm, then they, you know, they cool, they're chilling back out, you know, in the streets again.
Yeah. I totally, you know, I mean, there are some things that we can't avoid. Of course, you know, it's thinking about it being homeless. I mean, that's what's up. I need three meals. I got a bed. I got a roof over my head, shower, shelter. You know, I'm just around a bunch of guys. But besides that, I'm pretty much straight. And you're going to have those that have that mentality to go in there. Mm-hmm. But as far as the other, like, other methods, it has to be some kind of outside method to where, I mean, it's getting really bad as far as the statistics go, as far as young men going straight to jail, going straight to prison.
Yeah.
Not even seeing a juvenile detention center. Sitting in a juvenile detention center until it's time to go to prison because they ain't aged up yet. Like, it was like my brother friend, 14 years old, he did a crime and they had him sit in juvie. He's sitting in juvie now. He has this, well, I think, he just turned 18, I think. But he was sitting in a juvenile detention center and said he was of age to go to prison.
Hold that thought. Let's go to the lines here. Hello, you're on the Covenant Cafe.
Hi, I just wanted to listen.
Thank
you. What?
Go ahead. We can't hear you.
Definitely, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to listen. Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. All right, thanks for calling. Where are you calling from?
I'm in California.
Okay. Thanks for calling from California. We really, really appreciate it. Okay. Great. That's beautiful. Yeah,
beautiful.
But okay.
like I was saying, my brother's friend, he was 14 at the time. He's been sitting in there. I believe he's 18 now, so they should have shipped him off to prison. So he's been in there since he was a juvenile, and he has to wait in a jail, in a juvenile detention center, and said he was of age to go to prison. They didn't keep him in county because of the county jail because of his age or whatever. You know, he can't be around the inmates or the population there. Mm-hmm. So this is my thing. Like, you're telling me that is the best way to go, to hold him until he's of age to sentence him. You're telling me that was the best method you can come up with for a child.
Yeah.
Who is just now going into puberty.
Mm.
It's that's my whole thing. Like, there's more to these overcrowding jail cells than just people being evil. I mean, sin is sin.
Yeah.
Sin is sin. But there is a route to sin, to getting out of sin. And that is not even a method. I mean, I don't even want to sound like I'm going to go to the religious route, how much we need Jesus, because we do need Jesus in the system, in every court system, in every system, period. But what I am saying, too, that there has to be some kind of alternative method that instead of locking our young people up ASAP and holding them until they're of age to understand what they did wrong 10 years ago and they're doing time for that crime that happened when they just became a teenager or they just hit puberty.
Mm-hmm.
It's upsetting me, especially because I work with the youth. And like you do, you work with the youth too.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Being with the youth, ministering to the youth, to see that a lot of them don't even know what hope is.
Yeah.
It discourages me that you have the older generation that's saying, you know, the youth is our future, but they're the ones that's first to cancel them out, to cast them aside. It discourages me because it's going to, when the time flips, because this young generation, they don't even know the value of Social Security. Because they were saying by the time my age bracket, once we get of age, that Social Security won't be there. That's what they're saying. So you got this young generation who's mostly going to jail, and they're not being taught the values of unity in our society. They just cast it off. You can see it going downhill, and that's what I'm talking about as far as it's something more to these overpopulated jail cells that we're not even looking at.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. Okay. So
you want to talk?
No, saying what else we have.
Okay, now we're moving on. I'm just trying to stay into the justice area. This is another thing that's worth talking about. So a Florida cop fired for Trayvon Martin targets. A Florida police sergeant was fired for possessing several so-called Trayvon Martin shooting targets, authorities said Saturday.
What?
Sergeant Ron King of Port Cavanaugh Police Department was fired Friday after internal review investigated how he offered the hoodie paper shooting targets to two fellow officers, said John Walsh.
Good.
That there, I definitely want to just share this is what we're dealing with down here in Florida. This is what we're dealing with in the South. It does seem like a war and it's funny, it's an interesting segue how we just came about the target young black men going to jail, overpopulating, da 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 da. But looking at this, what else that we're dealing with, you have this young black man, Trayvon Martin, if you're not familiar with the story, who got into an altercation with a Hispanic who appeared to be white, so that everybody was saying that, and then a Hispanic who was arrested did not get arrested the day of, but several days in time for the actual crime. Well, anyway, you have this sergeant that's passing around these targets, a face, his face on it, with the hoodie on it, passing it around, or trying to pass it around, offer it to his fellow officers. And then it's a discouraging thing as far as us being a target, and how when we don't unify against things like this, then what do we have to stand for? Like, if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything.
Absolutely.
And especially anything that when we don't unite, united we stand, divided we fall. And if we're bickering and fighting with one another, and I'm not just talking about black people, I'm talking about people in general, because what it comes down to is good or evil. It's simple as that. So if the people of good are not unifying or dealing with evils like this, then the evil is going to become greater, because as you see, the evil is unifying with other evils, and it is starting to populate and try to destroy, you know, our sanctification walk, our sanctified walk, our holding on to Christ. They are constantly attacking the belief of righteousness. It's before it used to be, and I'm not calling anybody out, but I definitely have to share this. It used to be you felt uncomfortable to come out saying that you're gay, but now, you know, it's, you have a choice. You can do whatever you want. You know, this is how you feel. This is how you feel. This is what you are. You got, man, they had on the news, man, a young, in California, school in California, a guy, little kid, felt like he was a girl one day. So he was able to use the woman's restroom because that's how he felt. You got kids getting sex changes because that's how they feel.
Wow.
Look how bold this evil is getting to where it's okay to do what the Bible says you can't do or you shouldn't do. Or what God doesn't like, how it's okay, how it's like, I noticed this, that it's amazing to, like, I went to a restaurant and I pray over my food. And the waitress came up to me and she said, wow, I never see people do that. That's amazing. Like, it's good to see that they're still Christians. And I'm shocked that was amazing, but it's okay to smoke cigarettes around kids. That's okay. To give them cancer. That's okay. But for me to praise God openly or to pray openly, well, sir, can you go? Because I've heard people talk about them like, oh, I'll give you a better one. I went to the courtroom with my Bible and they told me to leave. When I went to my brother's case, they told me to leave. So, but it's okay to walk in with a folder, but because my book says Holy Bible, we got a problem.
Wow.
This is what I mean. I don't mean to take it to the black and white, but I'm talking. No, they said you can't bring that in. You can't read that in here. You can't bring it in here. You can't read that in here. And I'm looking like, wow, because that was the major thing. It wasn't just the fact that I had it. It was more so you might read that in here. But you got attorneys. You got defendants. You got spectators. They got all kind of personal items. But this book is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's look at the attack and look how the shift is going. And it's so important. That's why I didn't mean, if I came off as black and white, I meant good and evil. It's important for us as a people, the saints, to unify, especially in different communities, regardless of the color. It has to be some kind of unity.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, definitely.
well, moving on. Since we're still on the topic, about people that change. Former New York drug lord turns life around by helping seniors. So his quote, it opens up by saying, one day if we bless, I hope they wrote that right, one day if we bless, we all gonna, they wrote it exactly how he said it. One day if we bless, we all gonna get. Says Tommy Mickens. Decades ago, Mickens was one of the top drug lords in Queens, where he ran multi-million-dollar cocaine enterprise. These days, after serving a 20 years in prison, he's doing the best to give back and do something positive by helping seniors to exercise. I definitely wanted to share that, mostly because, like I said, you know, I was talking about the over-sentencing, but also I'm in total agreement of like people who do wrong, they need to do their time. You have to do their time. And the thing is to not count them out once they come out, to still give them an opportunity to be, you know, to be civilized, to be contributing to our society. So the thing is, this young man, Tommy Mickens, who was, they used to call him Tony Montana of that era. So they was calling him a Tony Montana. He was a big drug lord. And this guy has changed his life around to where he has dedicated his life to helping senior citizens to exercise, to be there for him. And his whole mindset is that, as hard as he said it, as hard as he went in the streets, he wants to do as hard, if not better, in giving back to the community. And now I had to put the words up because they actually, you know, wrote it, how he said it, with slang and all. But, you know, this is the thing, that there is hope in anybody. There's hope and change for anybody. So even so, for the young man that has been doing time and they're out now, or for a young sister that's doing time and is out now, or for those who are in time, who are doing time in prison or just jail or shipped off somewhere, there is still hope for them. Like, do not count them out. Like, people do change, situations do change, mindsets do change. And as we read in the opening scripture, that God's hand is not too short, that it cannot save. God's hand is not shortened by anything that we've done. There's no mess that we have gotten into or getting into or are in right now that God can't clean up.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely had to show that since we were on that. And I want to go ahead and wrap things up with this story. I want you guys to be aware, for all those who are hunters or possess guns or just somewhere in that branch of dealing with animals or having a firearm. These are the two people. So PETA, they're eyeing drones to watch over hunters and farmers.
What?
So another animal, yes. So another animals rights group is shopping for drones. It will be used to watch for animal abuse, and gun owners are setting their sights in anticipation because they're going to be watching. This is what they're saying. They're watching. They're going to be watching those who are hunters or in the woods, those who own firearms, those who drink as well, have some kind of DUI or something on their record. Their whole thing is that, scrolling, where is it at, in quotes, their whole thing is that people If you have any kind of suspicion or some kind of danger towards animals by owning a firearm, you could be a problem. So they're going to have helicopter drones that will be watching, flying and watching over areas where animals have suffered or are dying, you know, above the average. Like if it's a particular area, say if your neighborhood, I'm not saying they're going to hit different, like certain communities in certain parts. If there has been a calling where there's this animal just so happened to be dying, or there's a study that the animals in this particular area is suffering, best believe that PETA will have a drone, a helicopter drone, a little remote control helicopter drone, the video camera that will be filming the area and definitely watching you, especially if you are falling to one of those suspicious branches.
Wow. That's insane.
And that's how we're going to close. I was going to touch this other topic dealing with. They're talking about these teens that were accused. Well, I might as well since I'm telling about it. Teens who were accused for sexual assault are posting pictures. So once again, social media has become the enemy to evildoers. Mm. What's going on basically, there are these teens, they sexually assaulted a young lady. She got drunk once again, and this just happened in California. So they're using this, and it just happened in Ohio. So in California, this is a case that they're building on anyway. Well, these young teens, they're not athletes, but they sexually assaulted a young lady, and they had took pictures, and they released it around school and videotaped it. The young lady got drunk and passed out.
Wow.
Passed out. So the thing, which the problem is, which caused it to be so big, wasn't necessarily social media that got the police attention, but it was the fact that she committed suicide after the release.
Yes, I heard
so
that.
So by that, now the police are saying that they gave us all the evidence. So I find it to be amazing how, once again, the teens, it's all going back to our youth. And when I say going back to our youth, if they're our future, we got to take more time out with teaching and educating them the right direction, really talking to them and telling them this is wrong, this is right, and staying on them, disciplining them. I'm all for whooping your child, grabbing the bell, and tearing his little tail up. I'm all for that.
That's a whooping your child.
Who are you telling?
With it? Now, on the not just the social media, but there's another story about Rick Ross. Who's people are familiar with this guy. He has lyrics talking about date rape.
Yeah, I saw that story too. And
now,
we all dropped him. Continue.
I'm absolutely actually not shocked, but I'm glad they started to hold these people accountable for what they're saying.
Agreed.
It's really killing off the youth, black, white, Puerto Rican, Chinese. Because they think, oh, man, it's cool to talk about this stuff. And, you know, they go about trying to, you know, rob people because, I'm a thug, I'm this, I'm that, you know, because they listen to whatever they're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
But now more people are being accountable for their lyrics. There was another guy a few years ago, Gucci Man, no, Lil Bootsy. He had some lyrics in there about, you know, Robin or whatever. And he was held accountable for what he was saying.
Yeah.
And that shall change. Hopefully it would change the whole game of rap. Because the thing about it is, if you're doing it, you shouldn't be talking about it. Now, I'm not saying they should be doing it, but I'm saying, like, if you admitting to selling dope, selling crack, coke, or whatever, on record.
Yes.
On record.
Mm-hmm.
You should be held accountable for it.
Yeah.
Especially if something's going down. Let me say this. People, there are racist cops, true. But at the same time.
Talk to them.
At the same time, if you're saying you're doing this, it is their job to investigate.
Yeah.
So if I'm out here rapping about killing people or doing drugs and whatever area I'm in, they're like, well, there's a lot of drug activity in this area. This guy is always talking about it on his records.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Rick Ross is suffering because of what he's talking about, date rape. I listened to the song, but I've read the story.
Yeah.
And he's talking about date rape. Now, this dude, they're holding him accountable,
mm-hmm.
and Reebok has pulled their sponsorship for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Now you got to think about what you're saying.
Right.
You know, when I was coming up, you know, there weren't many people talking about that because people wasn't doing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had your groups, but of an overall, you know, average of most of the hip-hop, most of hip-hop wasn't really talking about that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But now more and more guys are talking about, you know, killing, shooting, you know, robbing, selling dope. This is what they hang with. This is my gang members. This, that. You're giving all your information, and then you wonder why when you come in town, you got cops following you. You
mm-hmm.
wonder why they don't want you at that venue. You know what I mean? Because they don't want that type of crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not. It's really not many hip hop concerts nowadays. When I was, mm-hmm. you know, when I was coming up, there was always a concert going down.
Mm-hmm.
But now people don't want to be accountable for it because. If I have a coliseum or a
mm-hmm.
small venue that cater to musicians,
mm-hmm.
if you saying this type of stuff, I don't want that type of crowd in my building.
Mm.
Goes for even heavy metal, hard rock, Marilyn Manson and those guys. And that's what alternative. But I don't want those type of people in my building.
Mm.
Now, if I say, okay, we're going to take a chance, yes, we're going to beef up security.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just because I'm black, they beefing up security. No, because what you're saying on record.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're telling me. So you're telling me I need to beef up when you come to town.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, people take the racist thing way too far.
True.
You know, thinking you're going to do what you want to do and these guys aren't going to do what they need to do to stop you. From hurting somebody.
Mm.
Yes, and it goes for everybody. There's good people, there's bad people. There's good cops, there's bad cops.
Right.
It's the bad cops outweigh the good cops because you hear about the bad stories all the time.
True, very true.
You know, but there's
anything will happen too.
You know what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
then you have a plethora of good cops. You know, that don't get paid much. They go out there night, day in and day out, trying to provide for their family
mm-hmm.
and a line of duty, a dangerous line of duty. You know, so the stigma that they had, I think, is really bad. I mean, it's a simple case of bad news goes around faster than the good news. You
right.
know, if I said something real bad, it'll go around. Oh, man,
mm-hmm.
did you hear what Lamont said? Oh, my God, da, 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 da. But if you were doing something good, unless someone asks you about Poetic or asks you about, you know, Lamont,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's
if it's
true.
Something bad, oh, man, guess what? I got to tell you.
Oh.
They have the nerve to say this.
Mm.
And do this, you know what I mean? So,
did you hear about such and such?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I said, back to Rick Ross. So now he's being accountable, held accountable for his lyrics, you know. And this guy
mm.
was a correction officer before.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good.
And I've heard the thing about it. I've heard people arguing like they're just being hard on Ross. He's just trying to make money. He's just doing this. And ain't like he ain't got to rate him because he is superstar. Like, I'm hearing people taking up for him. But my issue, just like you said, why wouldn't he be held accountable for his lyrics? The thing about it is, even in this industry, what I've seen firsthand, I won't say any names, a lot of these artists is lying to y'all. They are lying to y'all. They're not in the streets, nor have they seen the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So, and on top of that, what real man finds it necessary? Now, I don't have a problem with sharing your testimony. This is where I was. This is where I am now. But what kind of grown man glorifies the death upon people? Are people at that?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fully, I support Reebok decision. Yeah, I would drop him. mostly because, like, come on, like, he was just lyrics and it rhymed. It didn't, how is that right? To just say stuff because it sounds good, but you don't mean it? And I'm going to take it to the Bible because I got to. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So what, look what you speak in life to and what you speak in death to. Look what you speaking on. And even the Bible says, out of the mouth comes the abundance of the heart. So these are things that are in him. The things that we rap about, the things that we speak about, just listen to a person long enough. Just keep listening to a person, and you'll find out who they are. Because whatever that's coming out of their mouth, it came from their heart. And this is real talk, because this is what the Bible shows us. It's not what goes in a man that defiles him, but what comes out of his mouth. Because what comes out of his mouth comes from his heart. Murder, adultery, lying, pride, all this stuff is what's coming out. So it's, I've been lost respect for a lot of these artists, to be honest with you. Know that I'm not trying to, you know, bash anybody right now, but I'm just saying a man should not glorify death upon his own people.
Absolutely. And maybe he'll learn his lesson. Maybe he'll change up his style a little bit or whatnot. But I think it's a sad situation too, because I'm not cutting any slack, but as far as the people that he looked up to when he came into the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Yes, it's his fault, and no, it's not, you know, no, at the same time, because there are people who have set that trend, and he's like, oh, well, if they can do it, I can do it.
That's true. That
you
is
know
true.
What I mean? So as long as other people are doing it, there's going to be people who say, well, if they can do it, if they can make money off of it, why should I get my piece?
Yeah.
You know? So, like I said, you know, I hope the best for him, but at the same time, you got to be accountable for your actions, you know. So maybe, just maybe, he will chill out because he's a role model.
Mm-hmm. Whether he likes it or not.
Whether you like it or not. Once you're in that public spot, that's it. You there, you stuck there for a good while, because whatever you do, there are going to be people that's going to be, put, you know, acting like you, imitating you, whatever, so to speak. I mean, because, like, look, for instance, everybody with these thick beards, who was doing it first?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Rick Ross came out with this thick beard, and now everybody that can grow a thick beard, they're doing it. You know, so, guys, you got to be careful what you listen to. You know what I mean? But at the same time, check this out. We're going to go to a song, and we definitely going to come back with some more stuff. some weird news, you know. So we'll be back after this song. Lace, you remember this. Mike Williams. Stay positive, people. You're on the Covenant Cafe.
Put your hands together on this one like this. We just want you to keep smiling out there. Keep a happy face. Stay positive in the midst of your tests and your trials. Let's take it, y'all. Come on. home, y'all. Harmony right here. Be strong.
Be strong.
I need you to put your fists up and say, stay positive.
Stay positive.
Come on, y'all.
What?
And stay positive.
And stay positive.
Now don't groan. Put a smile on your face.
That song's always so dope.
It's always dope, man. Mike, and he's cool people. Man is really passionate about what he does. Man, dope track, Mike.
Definitely, definitely dope. Who do we have here? See you later. Yeah, that was big. The guy that dropped off the weird news stories.
I might see you later.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. We have some interesting weird news, and let's start off. Randall Johnson allegedly sleeps next to body of deceased girlfriend. Carla Jean Baggett for days. Check this out. A North Carolina man allegedly slept in a bed next to his deceased girlfriend's body for days rather than report her death. Randall Johnson, 44, was arrested Saturday after the body of Carla Jean Baggett was found in the couple's bedroom. Baggett was last seen alive Wednesday. Her mother, nephew, and sister all lived in a single-wide mobile home in Williamston with the couple, but family members says Johnson kept coming up with excuses regarding why his girlfriend wasn't leaving their bedroom. Baggett's nephew told WCTI 12 that Johnson would say the woman was sleeping or smoking a cigarette. Phyllis King, Baggett's mother, told WITN that Johnson said Baggett had overdosed on Xanax but was okay. I said, well, she's been sleeping a long time, King told the station. I went back in there that night and she was still sleeping. I went back there the next morning. She was still sleeping. King says she threatened to call 911, but Johnson reassured her that her daughter was fine. On Saturday, however, she says she went into the room, touched her daughter, and realized she was dead. She then called 911. It appears that the victim had been dead for several days, according to a lieutenant. However, at this time, they are unable to say what the exact date or time of death. Deputies also believe that Johnson had been sleeping next to the corpse for a few nights. Investigators say that they do not suspect foul play, and there's no indication that Johnson was involved in Baggett's death. He has been charged with concealing a death from law enforcement and is being held on a $100,000 secured bond. Yeah, that's
That's insane.
Wow.
You want to weigh in on that one?
I don't have to.
Okay.
I don't even
Moving right along. Wayne Klinkle learns lesson after dog Sundance dines on $500. And Helena Montana, the Montana man whose dog ate $500, he's going to find a better place to stash his cash when he travels. He doesn't carry a wallet on his doesn't carry a wallet on his chiropractor's advice. Sundance, his 12-year-old golden retriever, ate the bills during a visit to his daughter in Denver last Christmas. Sundance was left alone in the car with $100 bills and a $1 bill when they stopped for dinner. The dog dined on the $100 bills but left the dollar. He collected fragments from the dog's droppings. His daughter found more when the snow melted. He said he washed the remnants of the bills and sent them, taped together to the Treasury Department in hopes of having them replaced.
And did he?
Well, according to the story, they didn't elaborate at the after that. But that's funny that he didn't eat the $1 bill.
Yeah, it is. Like, the agony. Agony of that. Like, wow. Like, you really, I would not have tripped if you ate the $1 bill. I wouldn't have. I really wouldn't.
No, not at all.
But the other thing is, okay, the dog uses the bathroom. Like, you watch this dog. Like, you know what, babe? I'm going to just take off work today and, you know, just be around with Sundance for a bit. And what he uses the bathroom, and you get the fragments, and you tape it, you clean them, and tape it together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
It's
if he gets the money, then that's, you know, he deserves it. I guess I would commend his persistence.
Yes. I
it don't matter what the mess is, he going to make it through, get what he needs to get. So, yeah. Okay.
Okay, the last story is a horrible story. Mom tosses baby on bus to fight woman for disrespecting her baby. Yes. Okay, the baby on the top, well, let me go back. The babies on the bus go flying. Police in Hartford, Connecticut are investigating a video that shows a woman tossing a child aside on the bus before attacking a fellow passenger. She claimed disrespected her in front of her baby. The incident took place around 8:30 a.m. Wednesday in Hartford, Connecticut. In the video originally uploaded to YouTube, a woman holding a baby on her lap is in a shouting match with another female passenger towards the back of the bus. "I will thrash you on this bus," according to the woman. The woman can be heard yelling, "Somebody grab my baby." She later complains, okay, this has got to be bleeped. "After that B, this B is disrespecting me in front of my baby." Seconds later, she thrust the child into the arms of a surprised passenger before heading to the back to wail on the other woman. The altercation began after the other passenger began talking about the woman's child. Lee said the bus driver stopped the bus, but the woman fled before he was able to call the cops. Investigators do not know who uploaded the video of the incident. A person who commented that appeared on the original upload, which has since been removed because of what's been going on. Let me see. I'm going to go down a little bit, scroll down. Somebody in quotation said, "That's my B homegirl." F everybody's negative comments. She shouldn't have threw the baby, but she deserved to get that girl. Wow.
It's a good way to put herself out there. Now the police are going to come to her. She's going to tell her. I can see how this ends.
Yeah, you know, and at the end of her little line here, it says, but she deserved to get in that girl's blank. LMAO, you know what that stands for.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk about that. Nobody's child be. Okay. Yes. And this lady deserves. You tossed your baby to somebody that didn't expect. First of all, you're fighting. You're grown, lady. Fighting on a baby.
Right.
Second of all, you have a child. You need to learn how to make some decisions here.
Yes.
Somebody's talking about you, just ignoring and then go about. But you tossed the baby to someone else, like it's a like the baby's a football, hot potato, whatever you're going to say, not trying to be funny.
Right.
You toss this baby to the side to fight.
Mm. Do they say, like, do they have an estimate of how old they think the child is?
No. No.
Are you able to see the image of, like, just giving
the baby? Baby look at between 1 to 2 years old.
Okay. So at least it ain't newborn. Like, in that 1 month to 9 means 8 months, I guess. But it's still, it ain't no at least to it. That's still.
Yeah, you don't even deserve to have that child in your house now.
And can I be real for a second? Just for a second.
Get it in, son.
This is what made me mad is that you didn't even have to tell me the ethnic background of this young lady, but I already know how she looked. I'm just, oh my God. And even her friend following up.
Mm-hmm.
That's my homegirl. Oh, my God. Are you serious right now? She shouldn't have thrown the baby, but she basically you condoning her beating up the other woman or going to fight the other woman. Her only fault was that she threw the baby. She probably should have just placed the baby down.
Yeah, she didn't do the right thing.
I don't want to end up on my soapbox. I'm going to end up on a soapbox.
Go ahead.
Because this is so ridiculous. Like, all right, from what we've talked about in the beginning about dealing with the stereotypes of how it's just we're targeted and then going to jail and just so much stuff. We talked about all that. Now, let's get into why we have these stereotypes. When we do foolish stuff, like this, like we just gotta let it be known that we in the building. We just gotta let it be known. You better respect me,
mm-hmm.
even if I put my child in danger, even if I put my reputation in danger, even if I'm claiming to be a Christian, I still gotta make y'all respect me. It boils me, dog. It really frustrates me because we want respect. Now, I'm talking directly about my community now. We want respect, but we're not willing to do what it takes to earn it. I was talking to a colleague, and it's so funny. We were talking about going back home, and he was like, he said this. He said, it's funny how they say I talk white. So I'm thinking to myself, I talk white because I have intelligence, I have an education, I articulate all my words.
Mm-hmm.
I talk proper, so I talk white. So if I talk ignorant, that means I'm black. This is what we were talking about. And I'm smiling because it's a sad truth. Sad truth. I go, you talk so proper. Like, because I'm articulating my words, because I found an eloquent way of displaying my feelings instead of shouting, yelling, and cursing.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me talk white. Are you serious? Did you really just say that? And it just I cannot stand that. Why is a level of intelligence determining your skin tone or your ethnic background or where your upbringing is from? You can't be an educated brother that came from poverty. Is that what you're saying? or because I have found a way to carry myself in a respectable manner, I am no longer one of you. Is this what you're saying? I really hate that term so much, and it's not a term that I hear often, but it is a term that I've heard before, and I always ask, like, I talk white because this, or because if I'm going in a meeting, when I go to a business meeting, or I'm dealing with things dealing with my business, and I'm speaking to representatives, they just talk. There's no you talk proper. We're conversing. But if I'm talking to someone who
hold on. I got to say something. You just said something.
Go ahead.
Y'all were conversing.
Mm.
Conversing. Not conversating.
Mm.
Now, how many times I hear conversating?
Yeah, we were conversating.
Yeah. We were conversating. I'm sorry. Go ahead. It's just so many people say that word wrong and conversing. Okay, go ahead.
Well, we're conversing. It's a mutual understanding of what we're trying to do. We're having a great conversation. But if I'm talking with someone else, why you speak so proper? You know, it's almost like it angers. So I have to be really selective of what words I use. I can't talk. If I'm talking out of slang, or which is, for other people who don't know what slang means, which is African-American vernacular, if I'm not talking with broken English, then there's a problem. Now, I understand that you have to pick, because as an artist, I have to pick and choose my words and what I say to the crowd. Like if it's at a concert and it's urban, because I do outreaches too, so I'm in the projects a lot. So if I'm doing something in the projects, I'm not using certain words, but I'm still articulating. I'm not cursing, but I'm also including slanging because I'm relating and this is where I'm from. You know, stuff like that is cool. And if I'm with a crowd and the crowd is a mixed crowd where there's white, Hispanic, and black in there, then, of course, then there's another level of speaking to where they understand, because everybody doesn't know what dope means. They don't. That's dope. They don't know what that means. So I'm like, God, that's great. That's awesome. I can understand the switching up of that. But as far as if we sit down and we're having a conversation and I'm just telling you how it is directly, no kind of punchlines, just talking, using English. There should not be a title on you talk white or you talk black or you cool or you proper, because I choose to use a language that's universal, which is not the vernacular end of it. So, but yeah, okay.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here on the Covenant Cafe. We have to basically get ourselves together in this, I mean, you know, with the cursing and the gangster talk and the slang, you have to know how to code switch. If you don't understand code switching, it's going to be very difficult for you, because your favorite rapper knows how to code switch.
True.
In order to get that deal, I'm quite sure no one went into that big guy's office and said, "Yo, son, this is what it's gonna be like. Yo, this is my album, man. It's gonna be hot. You wanna no? They're gonna like, I have an album. This is my demo. Can you please listen to it? Give me a shot at you know being represented by your company."
Mhm.
Boom. There it is. That's all I gotta say on that. I'm just gonna leave that alone.
Alrighty.
Ladies and gentlemen, we definitely gotta pay our bills, so we about to go to a commercial break, and we'll be back with the poetry spots.
Let's go.
You know, maybe. We'll see. Here in the Covenant Cafe. Let's get this, okay. My commercial is not playing.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Attention all shoonistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
This is the D Poetry Spot, and I'm Isis, the goddess of poetry. Flow it free into the universe. Keep going down the tongue and speak new languages. Leave feeling its freedom ringing in your soul. Flow it freely. No, leave that which prohibits you to be anything else but free flowing in the breeze. Flow it free until your conscious freezes with zest and less stress to confine its motionless mind, dimming light. You are blind. No, let's rewind. Go back in time when it would only cost a penny for your thoughts. Now it's a dime. Flow it free. Do not be reckless and intertwined with bottomless pits of naked minds. Be not afraid to take a peek into my mind, because only in this place and time, within the fine line, will you find a peace of mind, and you will then be able to flow it free. Now, leave me.
This is the D Poetry Spot.
And welcome to the Poetry Spot here on the Covenant Cafe. Lace definitely going to have a song up here.
Definitely.
And we have the Grits. Also, of course, we have our inspirational story. Now, we're going to go into this inspirational story, and then we're going to come out of that, and we're going to knock them down. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, what I'm reading from right now is on inspirational-poems.net. The name of this inspirational story is called Boy Who Bought Ice Cream. And this, like I said, this actually is off of this website. A 10-year-old boy went to an ice cream shop and asked the waiter how much a cone costs. Waiter said 50 cents. The boy started counting how much he had in his purse, and then he asked how much a small cup costs. Waiter said, 40 cents. The boy asked for a small cup. He had it, paid bill, and left. When the waiter came back to pick up the empty cup, he was slightly touched as the boy had left 10 cents for a tip. Try giving something to everyone out of whatever little you have. That's pretty cool. Cool story.
Mm-hmm.
So the big you know, the regular cup, you know, the ice cream cup, 50 cents. That's all he had.
Mm-hmm.
So he went with the small cup for 40 cents, and still spent 50 cents.
which is cool. Cool story. Cool story. We have this song here from you, Lace. Can you tell me something about this before we hit that hot fire?
All right, this song actually has not been released to the public as far as people on, I guess would you say, my fan base or the gospel market would have heard. I did the song with Easy Thriller. It's called In the Air. And it's more so about the truth of what we dealt with. Here we are today. We made a mistake. This is what it is. Easy Thriller, actually a secular artist. He's, doing his thing. Coming back, really coming back to the Lord now. He's really with the Lord now, which is a beautiful thing. So when we did the track way back when, he hit me up, he was doing this project, and he was like, he said the Lord told him to hit me up, like, it would be great to have a gospel artist on my project. And, we conversed and chopped it up about, what the Lord is and what we're looking for and da-da-da-da. And, it's really just spewing out what we feeling on the track. So beautiful song that, that's touched some people, has touched people. But I haven't really released it on my side yet. But here's the chance, the debut.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here, you heard it here first on the Covenant Cafe, Poetic Lace, In the Air. Let's check it out.
I can feel it. I can feel it, baby.
Just remember.
It's coming through.
Poetic Lace. Yeah.
Deep Thriller, jump.
I woke up early this morning. With a new life, woke up yawning and ready to start a new life. Money had me blind and crooked, yet nigga, you right. Love and move law was wrong, I couldn't do right. I once had forsaken and planned doing what you like. Then God pulled me out of the flames, gave me a new life. I feel now I'm one of the angels, me and my crew tight. So let's lead them out of the dark into the true light. Yeah. We trapped in pain, sadly it's the same old thing. Money, ice, and chicks and fame. The devil lie, he running game. Taught me about the drug game. Gunslang and run trains. Thought I used my brain until I saw I was so close to flames. Grandpa asked, will you rise? Heaven, hell, don't need surprise. Tighten up, my boy, you walking blind. You need to open eyes. Then the light just hit me, it felt like something ripped me. Baptized by Christ, I keep the Lord with me.
Come on.
Is my purpose. I curse to get my point through. Only Jesus was perfect. So I strive to be just like him, though I'm in the devil's circus. Sticks and stone may break my bones, but I refuse to be a servant. But God, you ever need me, make that call, I'm at your service. Cause the devil tried to drown me, but to you I reach the surface. See, I just hold a pen, but through him I write these verses. And through lifting every voice, that to me is where you church is.
To me, after hearing those words, I knew it's time for change. Let's prepare for our sins, removing all the stains. Through this music, I'm gonna kill every major curse. Call the ball bearer, they're gonna need a hearse.
DC, poetic lace. Now I ain't ready for this right now. New
Yo.
Yes, sir.
Dopeness.
Yes, sir.
Dope. Yo, before we get into the dopeness of the song, let's go ahead and get into the grits here on the Covenant Cafe. The title of this track is My Life Be Like. Here on the
My
Covenant
Life
Cafe.
Be Like.
I recently heard something about them, so I just find it interesting that you play their song. So I'm like, you know how we quit to put something together? Oh, okay, Lord, you want me to reach out to them? Oh, okay, Lord, I'm going to hit them up.
Very
dope song.
Yeah. I mean, how can you go wrong with a song like that? So now, do you got any poetry you want to spit for us today, or what? What we got?
I'm gonna bring something to y'all next week. I'm gonna give y'all something next week, and the only reason why it's not that I'm being stingy, because I know I haven't spit nothing new for you guys in a while. It's been hectic for me to where I haven't even had time to really sit down, because I want to give y'all something new. I don't really want to get it. I'm not in the mood to do nothing old in this particular season of my life. So it's just been really, really hectic and having a lot of decisions on my plate to make. So, but I got y'all. Real talk. Oh, just to throw this out there, I recently released a new video. I released Assassination. But the thing about Assassination, this is a live recording. It's not the music video, but it's the actual live performance. And it's featuring Mike's Karate Academy. So what you see is I'm performing the song, but Mike's Karate Academy, you got a karate team, a fight breaks out on stage. They basically demonstrate warfare. So if you like action-packed and you like music and you like real talk, it's all converted in one. And if you like looking at me, I'm on the stage. I'm in it too. So it's like, it's a live performance of Assassination. You see the performance was recorded live on Love Jones Cafe. This is the actual recording, and I actually released it. So it's on YouTube. Go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/poeticlace. Or you can go to my website, www.poeticlace.com. That's PoeticLace.com, and you'll be able to see this round of video. And stay tuned, because I'm getting ready to drop something new, and possibly we're getting ready to go into a new season, which means a new single, and it's going to be crazy. So y'all stay tuned.
Well, speaking of crazy, let's do this. Let's go in a Christopher Williams song.
Oh, okay.
Let's go right now. We're going to go into Christopher Williams song. We spoke to this guy a week or so ago, and guy is on fire. So right now, we're going to get into Christopher Williams, Crazy. Let's get it.
I don't understand at all. Oh.
dope song.
He killed that. He killed that. I love the song. It's a dope song. Dope.
Very dope song.
Before you answer the door,
man,
do we still? I don't want to keep waiting too long, but I do have a question. Do we have until I pass out?
Wait. Say that again.
Do we have until I pass out?
Until you pass out.
Until I pass out. The song by Reese, Uncle Reese.
Let's look through our catalog. No, we don't have that up here today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a good song too.
Yeah.
Definitely, dope song. The crazy song is just dope. God, isn't he crazy for forgiving us? You know what I mean?
It's
almost like, you know how people are like, man, he's got to be crazy for forgiving him for doing what he just did to his mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Someone else and stuff like that. But you
got...
Hello?
This is Deacon Johnson here. Open up the door.
Johnson, we're not leaving right now. We got to finish up the show.
Well, tell them that I want to speak.
Deacon. You already speaking now. I mean, you are. Listen.
Go ahead, D.
Don't you ever in your life cut me off, because I will cut. I mean, amen.
What's going on, D?
Nothing at all. But I did want to share something. God is good all the time. Amen.
All the time, God is good.
Yes. And I would like to share one of my favorite verses before you give your words of encouragement. Amen?
Amen.
Right now it's not... Listen, boy. Sit your tail down and let me in. Amen? Oh, okay. You got it. Go ahead. My verse is 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And this is in your NIV version.
Okay.
It's not just an NIV version. It's not the Nigger International version. It is the New International version. Here we go. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. Amen?
Amen.
And I just wanted to share with you that verse because he has risen. He is our God, our Heavenly Father, our provider, our everything. Amen?
Amen.
And I would just like to say, that's all. So you boys and everyone there in Radio Land, this is Deacon Johnson, and I'm going to go back to Golden Corral because that's where I've been eating while I was waiting for my turn to come back here. So you guys have a good week, and I'm going to put you in the hands of Poetic Lace because I don't trust that Lamont as far as I can throw. All right, Deke, man.
Hey, Deke.
Yeah, yes.
Because we're cool, I got to tell you that I said this on the air that I didn't. When we were in the car earlier, I didn't really like that you don't allow me to talk
Well, I do. I allow you to speak when God lets me let you know. And at the time when I was in your car, it wasn't God's time for you to talk. It was my time to talk. You, amen?
Amen.
Amen. So you guys have a good day, a good night, wherever you are. Whether you're here in Virginia, whether you're there in Jacksonville or California, you guys have a great week, and I will be back next week. Sit down, boy. You can go talk. All right. Bye.
Bye.
D, you're not speaking to me? You're not speaking?
Now, the thing about dealing with Deep, though, he teaches you to respect your elders. And that's true. There comes a time of talking, and there comes a time for listening.
Man, that was kind of rude though.
Yeah, but you know he is our elders, and we will pay him respect. So.
Yeah, I mean you was trying to tell him how you felt.
Yeah.
But it's all good. But I'm glad he shared that. I mean he must really want. I don't know how. I mean he's been there since. So since what 6:30?
Yeah, I don't know how he gonna get back in there, thinking he ain't gotta pay again. But you know he, it is what it is.
It is. Yeah. Okay.
Who goes to go in the crowd and wait till their time to come back on the air? Like
I don't know. I don't know.
I got love for Deep though, so it's cool.
Yeah. Okay. So ladies and gentlemen. We within our last 10 minutes of the show. We definitely appreciated you guys this week. I mean, we had some interesting stories. Interesting people dropping by.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, inspirational stories, you know. Always help someone in some way, you know, some shape, form, or fashion.
That's right.
You know, yeah. So let's get into our words to live by, because I would love to close with the Grits, because that song, I'm really feeling that, and I think we should be able to go out on that tonight.
Alrighty. So our words for the week to hold on to, it comes from 1 John 4:1, which says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world." Actually, that's not the direction I wanted to go in, but glory to God for that. So definitely, you know, test everything in this upcoming week. Test everything by the word of God. Like, some things don't line up. Remember I was telling you guys before about our heart desperately wants to do wicked. So, example, my heart, even though my heart may be saying, go ahead and sell drugs to provide for your family, that's not of God, because you are selling death to people. Mm-hmm. You are hurting all his people just for your own pocket. So it's a form of selfishness. So therefore, by testing that by the word of God, we see that my heart is incorrect, that my heart is of error by telling me to do whatever it takes for my own gain, even if that means hurting other people. So, you know, dealing with people in your week, tested by the word of God, even those who say they come in Christ's name, if they're not talking about love, which is the first rule of this is the foundation of God right there, is love, loving your enemies. If somebody tells you, you know, do whatever, and if they hate on you, forget them, da-da-da, that's not of God, because God said even love your enemies. Love your neighbors and love your enemies. Pray for all of those. So definitely keep that in mind. But I wanted to leave you guys really with this. That's, hold on to that and definitely leave you this. 1 John 4:4, which says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." So this all draws up to the whole fact that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, that you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. This is what it all comes down to. The reason why you're more than a conqueror and the reason why you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you is because the Holy Spirit is greater that lives in you than the devil of this world. So that means you are more than capable of accomplishing goals. if you have a problem quitting smoking cigarettes, you know, for those who are smokers and they want to quit but they feel like they can't quit, well, truth be told is that you are able to quit because the Holy Spirit that lives in you can give you the power to overcome the struggle and to press through it. For those who feel that they can't get a job for some reason, that's not true because the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you can give you the intellect, can give you the motivation, can inspire you to go after the things that God has poured inside of you to accomplish. So do not let the devil, nor false prophets, nor your own deceitful mind or heart tell you that you are nobody, because the Bible shows us that there's something great that dwells inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the word that I want you guys to hold on to for the week. Matter of fact, since we got time, I definitely want to inspire even a little more for those out there who feel that they are hopeless, that nothing will go right for them. Mm-hmm. That's very impossible with a God that owns everything. I just got to say that. Do not believe that you are so hopeless that you cannot accomplish anything. If once you take on that Christian title, once you have accepted, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God, that Christ has died for our sins, he is the Lord and Savior, and he, God, has rose him from the grave, then you will be saved. So once you have confessed and you've taken that on, we have gone into the benefits of God. The benefits of God is love. What is love do? Love is long suffering. It does no evil. It thinks no evil. It perseveres. It doesn't boast up. Like love, if you look in 1 Corinthians 13, it shows us the characteristics of God. And how can you be under a covenant with a God who loves and thinks no evil towards you and believe that you're not going to be successful? You cannot believe that you're not going to be a successful, prosperous young person or old person or a person, a human, period. You cannot believe that and say that you're a Christian or say that you are under God's covenant. That's contradicting one another. We are God's people, and we are destined for more, and we need to stop holding ourselves back by our own slave mentality. Let's press forward in the joy of Jesus Christ, of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. For our Lord and Savior has died for us and rose for us, giving us power because we are heirs to the throne through him.
Absolutely. And another thing, and don't take everything for granted. I mean, like, use your discretion.
Use your discretion.
Put effort. Don't just say, you know what, I need a job, and still stay at home playing Nintendo or Xbox and not looking for a job.
Come on.
You know, it's not going to work that way. You know what I mean? You need to put your, if you're out there really hustling, really trying to find a job, and nothing is opening up, and you're praying, and you're believing, something will happen.
Yeah.
But if you're not putting your best foot forward, I mean, it's just like anybody else, if you deal with a situation and maybe you're in a relationship or maybe somebody, somebody's going to do something for you, whatever the situation may be. If you're not showing a person effort, even if you're working, if you're not showing them effort, you can't keep a job.
Come on.
Okay. You can't just go in and out of your job not doing anything and saying, thank you, God, thank you, Lord, for my job. I mean, you have to do something.
Yeah, true.
Okay, you can't just, I finally got my job. Now I don't need to be thankful anymore. I'm in here now.
Yeah, true.
Okay, you still have to continue praying.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to continue to pray. You still have to continue to be thankful, because your job could be here today and gone tomorrow.
Mm.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
Please do not take your situation for granted at all. Because, like I said, it could be here today, gone tomorrow, you know. So just be on your A game, because what happens is if you're not facing any trials, then you're not doing something right.
Come on now.
You know what I mean? Because your trials is almost like your practice.
Mm. Come on.
See if you're going to answer to him.
Mm.
Okay.
see if you're going to be thankful, to see if you're really thankful. You know what I mean?
Yes,
because
sir.
Your trials are there to make you stronger, not weaker. And that's why I'm going to close out right there. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys, we thank you guys for listening and calling in and commenting and all that good stuff here on the Covenant Cafe. We really appreciate it. We're going to be back with more, some more grand scheme of things, you know, more grand things that's coming up. So you guys definitely got to stay tuned because we always have guests coming through. Deacon, we appreciate you coming out. Okay, I won't say I'll deal with you. That means I don't want to. So. I accept you onto our show. We really appreciate it. D. Slate, that's our producer. Give a big shout out to him for, you know, making this happen. And you guys have a good week. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace
here on the Covenant Cafe.
Hey, I think Deacon would be proud of you, though, if he heard what you just said. I think he would be proud.
We'll see. We'll see.
You probably won't, though. Never mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, you heard this song earlier, Grits. We're going to close out with it. It's called My Life Be Like here on the Covenant Cafe.
My Life
Y'all
Be Like.
Behavior had me lost in life.